When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Monday edition of Game Misconduct. I am Don LaGreca. Apologies for what happened on Friday. I recorded a podcast, but just unfortunately some technical difficulties. So unfortunately, what was Friday's problem is now the Monday ecstasy of EJ Raddick. Ecstasy was the first word that came to mind. I'd like to take that back. But what are you going to do? We're not live, but you know what? I want to own it. I want to own it. So EJ joins us here.
I appreciate that.
To talk some hockey and in untoward.
Yeah. I don't know what happened on Friday. I don't know what the hell happened on Friday.
Well, I know exactly what happened, but listen, I can't. Here's the thing. There's a lot of people that help this podcast, and they all do it out of the kindness of their heart. So someone dropped the ball, but you can't. These are people that are volunteering.
Don't want to name names. You don't want to name names.
But
it's fun. I don't know the names.
No, it's all.
If you want to name the names,
These are people that are nice enough to do it out of the kindness of their heart. Anthony Pusick's our producer. He was off, so other people were helping out, and yeah, it's like you're putting up flyers for a missing dog, and you missed a few trees.
I'll take the fall.
He's not even there. He's not even on Friday.
But
you named his name.
Well, but it's all right. He's allowed to take off. The Jets are on a bye, so he wanted to take a nice 3-day weekend. And it's not his fault at all. Anthony Pusick is the salt of the earth, as are you.
You were looking at name. I said name names, and you named one name, and the guy wasn't even working on Friday.
But so where to begin? I mean, I guess Connor McDavid could be out a couple of weeks here. Edmonton off to an interesting start. I mean, how concerning is this injury moving forward?
Yeah, it's not good. It's certainly been. It hasn't been the start the Edmonton Oilers and their fans were hoping for. I mean, 1-3-1 in the first five, and now Connor's going to miss a little time, and he's going to likely miss the Heritage Classic game next Sunday. I'll be up there at Edmonton calling that one for NHL International.
And nice.
We don't have the great 97 in action, but the Oilers have bigger problems. I mean, when I look at their roster, goalies are inconsistent, the D is thin, and the bottom part of their forward group is not really defined. So, a lot is on the shoulders of Dreisaitl and McDavid and Hyman and those top guys there, Kane, and without McDavid, it'll be a challenge. We'll see, but maybe they'll rally the troops there. I mean, often we see that happen, and it looks like he's only going to be out for I think 2 weeks. So that's really good news. It could have been way worse. So the Oilers will have to they'll have to figure it out over the next little bit because it gets away from you early. Colorado's off to a great start. Vegas is off to a great start. And to a lesser degree, a team like Vancouver's got points. Dallas is doing well. So, we'll see how things go out in Edmonton, but they're going to have to figure it out over the next couple of weeks without their best player, without the best player in hockey.
Yeah, and since we're on the subject of the Oilers, who lost 3-2 in overtime to Winnipeg, that's been a topic of conversation, too, the Winnipeg attendance issues. A hockey mad city, but they've had as many as 5,000-6,000 empty seats there, which is kind of just strange. Everybody's throwing their theories out. Do you have one?
I just think it's expensive to go to the hockey game, and it's not a big, it's not a big market, right? So, and the team has been, has not really had huge success there. They made it to a conference final, I guess, in Vegas' first year. So that would have been their most successful season. The good news is, though, they have signed their top players. They signed Hellebuck, they signed Scheifele. So, that sends a message to the fans that, the organization is able to keep some players there. It is early in the season. I think if the Jets start playing better or can play at a higher level. Like, you know, they played pretty well last season. If they can get to that level again and have some consistency in their game, and I think the fans, they love hockey there. But the reality is, Don, I mean, it's expensive to go to games, and it's expensive to go to any games these days. I mean, you know, baseball, basketball, hockey, football, it's all expensive. I mean, like, not to pick out the marquee event, but like the Super Bowl, right? I've never been to a Super Bowl, and I've thought about going. It's like thousands of dollars for a ticket.
Yeah, right.
I know it's the big game, but I mean, literally thousands of dollars for a single ticket to a game. I mean, it seems a lot now, you know, for hockey. I mean, it can be, for a good ticket, to be a couple $100 these days, and that's challenging. So, I mean, the Winnipeg Jets are there mostly because of the philanthropic efforts of their ownership group, because it's not a market where, you know, they don't have a huge, they don't have like a 17,000-seat building where it's a cash register, a little bit smaller building. And, you know, the fan base is just not a fan base that, you know, is going to be able to afford the constant onslaught of everything that goes with Major League sports these days. So that would be my guess. We'll see how things play out. I think the fans there, you know, if the team plays well, like everywhere else, right, fans show up. So we'll see how things continue over the course of the season. But you're right. And then in Buffalo, too. And Buffalo's been another place where, you know, they love their hockey, but, you know, they've missed the playoffs for 12 years, albeit they've got a really entertaining young group there now, and they seem on the verge of making a breakthrough. But, there's been a lot of empty seats there as well.
Yeah, we've seen that over the last couple of years. But, I mean, and it's interesting that, you know, like, Buffalo and Winnipeg are very similar markets in different countries. Howie Rose had a joke. Howie's not a fan of Winnipeg. I am. I like Winnipeg a lot. But Howie went, because I remember when I got the Ranger, when Winnipeg came back in, I was in an elevator at Citi Field with him, and Winnipeg came back in. He's like, sorry, Winnipeg's back. He goes, you're going to have to travel there. And I said, I'm kind of looking forward to it. And the line from Howie was that Canada was jealous they didn't have a Buffalo, so they created Winnipeg. So
Howie's tough.
Yeah, no, he's tough. I enjoy Buffalo. I enjoy Winnipeg, but this is not meant to sound disparaging. I think it's just accurate. They're more towns than cities. I mean, they're very small. It's a small market. They love their teams, but, you know, there's not a lot of the corporate presence that you have. Let's face it. You go to New York. You go to Boston. There's so many people to choose from, and you go to Winnipeg, and everybody's wearing Jet hats and coats. They love the team, but my theory is that they had a very difficult last couple of years, and they get bounced out of the first round. And Scheifele and Hellebuyck did not sign until very late in the offseason, and there was a lot of speculation that Hellebuyck would be
part
gone.
Part of the season, right?
Yeah. And so I went with this with the Yankees because Yankee attendance was great, despite the fact that the Yankees almost finished under 500. And people are like, see, the building's still full. I said, well, wait till next year. People don't sit at the dinner table like we were kids going, hey, let's go to the game tonight and go to the ticket window and buy tickets. People buy tickets in advance. People buy tickets in the offseason. There's a lot of hype around the Yankees, as usual. So all those tickets are already sold. They were bought during the course of the winter. And now, because of the team, if they don't make the necessary changes, you will see the attendance be affected next year. Winnipeg gets bounced in the first round, had missed the playoffs the year before. Scheifele and Hellebuyck might be gone. We already saw Laine and Dubois and different players that were stars there exit. And they probably took a wait-and-see attitude. Maybe if Hellebuyck and Scheifele had signed earlier, maybe people would have bought their tickets. I think you'll start to see it grow as long as the team starts to play. But I can understand when you're paying that kind of money, same thing at Buffalo. Let's wait and see. Team hasn't made the playoffs for 12 years. They're hyped up. All right, let's see how it plays out before I start making the financial investment to go to games.
I agree with that, and we will see. And, it is. I would say this. When you look around at all the other markets, a lot of the other markets are doing very well. I see these attendance notes from all these other cities. And, I mean, like Florida, even, you know, Florida had a great run last year. There's a lot of excitement, to your point, right? It builds up. Now everybody wants to kind of be a part of it. Their first game, obviously, they're going to have a huge crowd. But even in game number two, I think they had like 98% attendance from what I saw on the sheet. So a lot of the cities are doing very, very well. and they're packing the buildings, which is great. And and I think in the end, if teams play well, people show. That's just the way it goes. And I think you're right about Hellebuyck and and Shifley's Donnie Wright. But we'll see how it plays out. I do want to get to the Red Wings. I don't want to miss out on the Red Wings.
That was going to be my next question.
It's funny because we asked about Detroit and Buffalo and Ottawa, and I'm an Ottawa Senators kind of I'm bullish on the Senators right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I got to give the Detroit Red Wings a lot of credit. I mean, I might have missed the boat on the Red Wings thinking about how they've improved. I mean, I don't know if DeBrincat is going to continue to score at this level. I mean, he's got 8 goals, I guess, in his first 6 games, and the Red Wings have won 5 of 6. Their power play is off the charts. They lost the first game to New Jersey, and they've won 5 straight since then. But you got to give the Red Wings some credit early in the season. I mean, they're doing what teams like that have to do, which is get off to a good start, pile up some points, and start to get a little cushion and start to feel good about who you are as a team. And the Red Wings are getting it done right now, so you got to give them a lot of credit.
Yeah, I mean, 5-1, and even that game against New Jersey, they lost. They did not go away in that game. They hung around. They fought back, eventually lost the game. And they've got the best goal differential in the NHL. That's saying something when you've got Colorado, Vegas, and Boston all undefeated to start the season. So, yeah, we talked when we did the preview of what teams, especially in Atlantic, could pop. Will it be Buffalo? Will it be Ottawa? Looks like, at least early on, it's going to be Detroit.
Yeah, I mean, Ottawa got off to a good start, too. They just played over the weekend, and Detroit beat them pretty good, and they killed them on the power play. But, I mean, when you think about it, here's the Brinkat and Larkin. They lead the league in scoring. They're the top 2 scorers in the league. 12 points for the Brinkat, 8 goals. And Larkin's got 11 points, 8 assists. I mean, they're playing really well. The addition of Gostisbehere is probably helping their power play a lot. And, that's been the biggest thing, is that they're scoring on the power play, and the goaltending has been good enough. They added James Reimer in the offseason. They have Husso. I mean, I got to give them credit. And the kid, Jake Walman is a guy they got from St. Louis that, I sought to see him a couple of times last year. I was really thought he's going to be a guy that just seems to be getting better on the blue line. So, I don't know if it can be sustainable because, they're scoring, their power play is clicking over 50%. And I don't know if Larkin is on pace for 100 and, or excuse me, DeBrincat and Larkin are on pace for 150-point seasons, but, or more. But right now, you got to give the Wings credit. They're playing very well.
Yeah, playing outstanding hockey. Teams that are off to slow starts. Any of those teams that have gotten off to poor starts, are you the most concerned with? Is Edmonton still the one that maybe pops the most to you of a slow start, or is there anybody else that you'd be overly concerned about? Tampa,
I think
New Jersey, to a certain extent.
Yeah. I think the Oilers are probably the most, the biggest one, right? Because you'd expect them to, we expect them to be near the top of things, and it's been some problems for sure out of the gate. You look around the league, Seattle's gotten off to a slow start, but I kind of figured they were going to take a step backwards this year. I think they still have a chance to be a playoff team. I just think that it's hard to, it's hard to sustain what they did last year. Their shooting percentage was kind of off the charts for an 82-game season. So, they made some, changes to their roster, and some of the guys who were helpful players, like Daniel Sprong, for example, is in Detroit now. He was a helpful player for Seattle last year. The Penguins are off. I was thinking the Penguins, with the changes they made, they need to get off to a really faster start. 2-3 out of the gate. It's not great because there's no excuses. I mean, they have no one else coming to the team. I mean, they got Gensel back, which is great. And you would think after last year missing the playoffs, they'd want to get out of the gate strong. And yet, they go into St. Louis and lose there, and 2-3 to start the season. And I mean, the point, it's a matter of a point or two. I mean, I look at Tampa. Yeah, it's been it's 2-2-2 across the board for Tampa. It's not ideal, but they're missing their goalie, who is like the linchpin of their defense, right? So I mean, that's a reason to have a slow start. I mean, for the Pittsburgh Penguins, I would have thought there would be every reason to think they would come out of the gates, try to come out of the gates fast, and they're stumbling right now. So that's another team I would look at on the East. As for the Devils, I don't know. I'm going to give them a little more time. I mean, they have won 2 of the 4 games. They've played, they had an overtime loss and a regulation loss. I think they got to sort through some things. They got some new players.
Yeah.
I think the Devils. I think the Devils will still have a good season. Maybe it won't be as good as last year. But I think they'll be a playoff team. And then once they're in there, maybe they will be very, very hard to deal with by that point.
I included them because there were some Devil fans on Friday for the podcast that never actually happened.
That were upset about their
start because they had so many games at home. And I guess I have to say, listen, we found out they beat Detroit. That turned out to be a bigger win than maybe you thought.
That's a good win.
Right?
Yeah.
And in Arizona, that's not your dad's Coyotes. They're struggling to score goals. But
more competitive.
They're way more competitive than they've been in recent vintage. I guess because of the home games and nothing from Timo Myers, which I guess is a little bit of an issue. But, God, I got to tell you, watching, because they've played a lot of the same time as the Rangers, so I haven't really had a chance to sink my teeth into the Devils until that game against the Islanders. And, the goaltending's always going to be an issue with the Devils, and they blew the lead and all that. But what a goal by Hughes in overtime. And I was thinking about this, and it's a very small sample size. He's still very young. But the trajectory you were talking about with Jack Hughes, he is going to be their greatest forward, and it's not even close. Now, their best player, goaltender, defense, Niedermeyer, Brodeur, Stevens. But their best forwards, I guess Patrick Elias is considered their greatest. He's the only forward to have his number retired. It's not going to be close, EJ. When this is all said and done, if this kid stays healthy, he's going to be the greatest forward this franchise has ever had.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. I will say that Patrick Elias was a great player and played on a team, I think he put winning above some of the other things.
Sure.
That you could put in, as ahead of individual accolades. That's what that Devil team was all about. But that said, Jack Hughes is phenomenal. He's dynamic. He's wildly entertaining. And, if he stays healthy, he's going to be, I would say for sure, the best forward that the Devils ever had. But luckily, there's so much time to go in his career. And only a couple of years ago, we were wondering, right, on these podcasts, is Jack Hughes, is he going to figure it out? Is he going to make it? Is he, is he too small? And it was just a matter of time, and he has really come into his own. And, he is a joy to watch play, that's for sure. There are times when I'm sure the coaches are shaking their head a little bit because, Jack can be all over the place, but boy, he's fun to watch, and he's wildly entertaining, and he's like I said, he's tremendously skilled. So, he is someone that is going to be a joy to watch for years and years to come, hopefully.
Yeah, and again, it's not just about the points, because there's a lot more points to come by than there were when Elias played. Even if you go back to the Pat Verbeek days, he's probably in the conversation as one of the greatest forwards. The Devils have John McClain, leaps to mind too, but there's just more room out. The things, the moves he makes, the fluidity in which he skates, and I know it's a different game, but he just looks, and that whole family really, but him in particular, just makes it look just so easy, right?
Well, Quinn Hughes is fantastic, and to me, he's one of the top five defensemen in the league. It seems to be getting better. I don't think people appreciate him enough because he's out in Vancouver and that team has struggled a bit. But, when you watch the Canucks, this guy just jumps off the page how good he is. And I think he went through a stretch of four or five games to start the season when he wasn't on the ice for a goal against at all.
Right.
So, that's hard to do on defense, especially when you're playing for a team that's, that doesn't defend well generally. So he's a great player. And then Luke now is, we're going to see him emerge. And he's got something that the other two don't have. He's a little bit bigger and a little bit longer. And so he has that going for him. So, it's kind of incredible what Jim and Alan, the parents, to have three children that have reached this level is amazing.
Anderson's hit on line A, gets a four-game suspension. I think it checked all the boxes, right? EJ left his feet, targeted the head, where we were in the game. Do you think it should have been more, or do you think they got it right with four games?
Well, the time of the game, those are the kind of things that really make my blood boil.
Yeah.
It's like, the game is over, and to just take it, it's a cheap hit. To run at a guy like that is not probably expecting to be hit like that and to hit him high. It's just like I said, it was terrible. I don't know what else to say. That part of the game, I mean, it's just frustration. It's I think it's nutless to me. I mean, like, you know, to run at a guy that late in the game, and you know, if you have an issue with someone, you know, square up, and you know, in this league, especially in a situation like that, you could still sell your differences by dropping your gloves if you have a big problem. Mm-hmm. But I thought that was terrible. I've seen Anderson, you know, be on the edge before with some stuff that I didn't like, and you know, he got 4 games. I mean, I would have been happy if he got 10 games, to be honest with you, because like I hate those type of plays. I hate that the game is over. The game is over. The time to be physical and to make a difference in the game was 2 or 3 hours earlier.
Right.
And to do that at that point to me was awful. And then Laine ends up with an injury, and he did not make the trip with the team. And who knows how long he's going to be out. I hope Patrick Laine is back soon, or as soon as possible. And I just think it's just so, so incredibly unnecessary and disrespectful to an opponent to do that. So to me, they gave him 4. They gave him 8. They gave him 10. They told him to go home for the season. I really wouldn't have cared, to be honest with you, because
right.
I hate that kind of stuff so much.
Yeah.
In games, I mean, there's plenty of time in a hockey game to make a play and to make a statement physically, and to make it, you know, within the rules. And you know, that was just way above and beyond. Now the NHLPA, who has to represent everybody, which is kind of a conundrum here for them. You know, they have a player who was injured,
sure,
and then they have a player who is, the person who inflicted the injury. Right? They have to defend both guys. So now they're looking to, I guess, appeal the suspension. But, you know, we'll see how it plays out. I mean, you know, in my mind, it would be great if they appealed the suspension and the commissioner said, you know, it wasn't enough, actually. I'm going to give you 6, you know. But
Or it doesn't start until Line A plays. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's always a tricky thing to go by, right? So, you know, but you know, that is something you think about, right? I mean,
yeah.
Like in Laine, I don't know how long Patrick Laine is going to be out. I mean, I hope he's back tomorrow. I hope it wasn't a big thing. But, like, it was such a, you know, like I said, it was such a dangerous hit to hit a guy. It was unexpectedly, it was, you know, shooting at an empty net and kind of from the side and up high and the whole, I mean, I don't know.
It's...
You know, for me, I think it was terrible. I mean, in the old days, you know, in another era, Don, that you remember, if somebody did that, they'd still be dragging the bodies out of the building, right? They'd still be fighting, you know, in Columbus that night. I mean, so it was unnecessary and dumb, and I have no problem with the suspension for that kind of play.
You know, we were giving some love to great starts. How about Philadelphia? How surprised are you that they're 3-1-1?
Well, I guess I'm a little surprised, but, I mean, they started pretty good last year. Like, John Tortorella's got to, you know, he's there to compete, and now this year, you know, Keith Jones and Danny Briere are, you know, they're locked in and is in management, and you know, I've been joking like this. Their thing is the new era of orange is their slogan there in Philly, and you know, kind of is. It's kind of an old era. That's new. It's like, you know, they play hard, and they're going to have an identity there, which is great. I thought they had lost their identity in Philadelphia a couple of years ago, and I think they've done a lot to kind of try to get, you know, to find a philosophy or an identity of who they are. Now, they're not going to be the Broad Street Bullies of years gone by, because that's just, you know, you just can't play quite to that level of violence that they did in the 70s, but you know, they got Couturier back. They got Atkinson back, right? So there's 2 pros they got back in their lineup. And, you know, and Couturier is a, you know, I mean, he is a big piece. So that really helps them right there. They've brought in some younger guys. They have a hard camp. They're ready to play on opening night. Not everybody is maybe as ready to go. And they came out last year. They had a pretty good start last year. So we'll see if they can sustain it this year. I think they have a chance to sustain it more because, again, their roster is a little deeper now that they have some of those players back.
And I think the thing that impressed me the most actually came in a loss on Saturday. I mean, they're down 4-2 in Dallas. Dallas has a power play.
Yep.
I mean, game's over, right? Yep. Midway through the third. And what do they do? They score 2 shorthanded goals on that power play opportunity for Dallas. They eventually lose on the Pavelski goal in overtime, but that's stealing a point in a very difficult place to play. I mean, that impressed me maybe more than any of the wins that they've had this year.
Yeah, like we did. I talked about Pittsburgh before, right? Pittsburgh's 2-3. I mean, here's Philadelphia stealing points, like competing. Like, we may not think Philadelphia's a playoff team, but like in their room, they're looking to win every night. And, you know, those guys and the coaching staff, I mean, obviously they're in kind of a rebuild for sure, but, you know, they're competing every night. And when you do that, you give yourself a chance to win. So, I mean, I think the Penguins could take a page out of the Flyers' book in terms of, you know, being ready to go right from the start of the season, because as we saw last year, it's going to come down to a point or two again. And let's, you know, I don't know if, you know, I don't think Philly will be there at the end of the year, but if they are, that point they picked up the other night that you point out, that could be the difference, right? So so we'll see how it goes, but the return of Couturier, hopefully he could stay healthy and continue his career, and Cam Atkinson, those guys, you know, they support the Konechnys and some of the other pieces they have there, so, you know. And they have a good goalie. Carter Hart's a pretty good goalie. I mean, I know he's had some ups and downs, and he's still a very young man in this league. But, you know, when he's playing well, he's a good goalie.
In closing here, EJ, tomorrow every NHL team will be in action. Now, that's not the story.
Everybody.
We've seen that before. Now, we've seen it like on a Saturday. We're seeing it on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
All scattered starts. There are not one game will start the same as another. They're all scattered. Starting at 6 o'clock. Unfortunately for me, Flames Rangers a little bit later than usually in Calgary, but that's all right. I'll get over it. And the Frozen Frenzy on ESPN. John Butchergrass is going to be the host. This was a brainchild, apparently, of Gary Bettman. Wanted to see some kind of like a red zone type thing. Maybe this will be the birth of something that'll happen more than just occasionally, but I'm really looking forward to how this is going to go down, and maybe this will get some casual fans to peek in to just see how it looks. I guess for people that don't know, when there's a power play late in game, because things are going to be scattered, no game is going to end at the same time, that John, just like a red zone, will take you to different games, and they'll have split screens and four games up at once, and it kind of be a lot of fun tomorrow to see how this all is going to look.
Yeah, I mean, well, I have to say a couple of things. I mean, first of all, like at the NHL Network, we do this every night. This is what we do. We go to game to game to game to game all the time. So it's not necessarily like a brand new idea. I think the good news is the scattered starts, and this is something I have kind of been back and forth with Steve Mayer, who is runs their events and is involved with a lot of different things. He's involved with our group at the NHL Network now, and Steve's a really, you know, he is a thinker, and he's always looking for different ideas. And so, like, I always enjoy when I get a chance to chat with them about, like, thinking about different things and, you know, like anything else. Some things are good ideas, some things are bad ideas, but it's been, you know, I've sent him notes now for a couple of years running about, you know, the scattered starts. Like, like when we have 6, 7 o'clock games that all drop at 7:08, and then they're almost reliably all in intermission at 7:45 or 7:50, right? This day and age, Johnny, people can watch every game. You know, like there's different ways to do it now. I mean, it's a changing environment. It used to be center ice package. Now it's ESPN Plus, and there's different ways to do it. But people who love hockey will sit and they'll, you know, on a night they come home, they put on games, they're flipping around. When every game is in intermission at the same time, you lose viewers.
No, you
because
don't.
They get distracted. They may go somewhere else. And then maybe you don't get them back for a while. Who knows? So I was always of the mind, like, why don't we have a game start at 7:10, 7:15, 7:25? Like, and so, you know, in this particular night, this is a dramatic change, obviously, to have all the teams playing and to have 16 games and to have them all starting at different times. But I think it's great. And the fact that ESPN and ESPN Plus is doing this, I mean, yeah, I think it's a great idea. I mean, like, again, I don't think it's a new idea.
No.
But but ESPN has a platform, and they have a megaphone to, you know, for those who don't have NHL Network or haven't been following in that way, it's new to them. So it's good for the game, and I think it'll be something. I think the staggered start times is a good idea, and I think we should see more of it. And I think really, you know, in all these sports, I mean, the NFL is another one where it's great that games come down to the wire, you know, But, like, if you started a game, if you kick off at 102 and then the next kickoff is at 106, or what? I mean, you create a little space for things not to end at the exact same moment.
It's a great point, because as a football fan that had the Sunday ticket when it was on DirecTV, how frustrating it would be flipping from game to game, and they all seem to be in commercial at the exact same time, because they all kick off at the same time, and the flow seems to be the same. There's always one outlier game that goes a little bit longer, but the way football's structured, it just seemed like, God, I want to see a game, because one game's in commercial, and they all seem to be on the same time. They're all at the two-minute warning at the same time. They're all at halftime at the same time, and the NFL finally, you know, changed it up with the late games, the 405s and the 425s, but it's a good idea. And I was not suggesting, EJ, as a guy that worked at the NHL Network and knows what you do, that ESPN, by any stretch of the imagination, reinvented the wheel. On the fly is something I think a lot of hockey fans have relied upon, and you guys did a tremendous job with it.
Yeah. On the
staggered starts, and as you said, you know, it just is.
Every end of the night. You know, that's the end of the night. But, like, if you tune in the NHL Network on a, you know, on a on Thursday, I'm sure there'll be a lot of games Thursday.
Right.
Tune in the NHL Network at, you know, 7:45, 8:00, 8:30, 9:00, 9:30. What you're going to see is a similar thing. You're going to see, you know, on some nights I'll be there, or other people will be there, you know, and we'll be throwing to games and throwing to those moments. I mean, the problem, and this is, you know, the challenge in hockey for this stuff, is in the NFL it's kind of easy. It's easier to do it. And in baseball, it's kind of easier to do it. I know at MLB Network, they do the same thing, right? With MLB Tonight, where they go around during these games. Like, the situations present themselves they're more defined, you know? Like, the NFL, the game is tight. They're in the very name of it. They're in the red zone. Let's go to that game, because there could be a scoring opportunity. In the NHL, you have power plays. Let's go to this game. There's a power play, and that's an opportunity. But it's not. But goals can be scored at any moment, and that's why it's much more difficult. So I wish them a lot of luck there. I'm sure they'll do a great job. It's going to be good for fans, and it's just another way to help grow our game, and I'm all for that. I just think it was funny because, like I said, the NHL Network, before I was even there, I mean, they've been doing it for 20 years, that kind of thing. So I'm hoping that it goes well, and maybe it'll be something they do more. You know, more often than once a year. Let's hope that's the case.
We've had the conversation many times when we did NHL Live together. It just hits differently. Like, all these networks, you know, the NFL Network, NHL, NBA TV, MLB, it's what they do, right? But to have it be on another network, and like you said, with a bigger megaphone, hoping to win some more fans over, just it creates a little bit of a buzz, you know, especially in October when there's so much else going on. Let's face it, as much as it's a lot harder to make the playoffs, EJ, than it was back when we were growing up when 16 of 21 teams made it, it's still October. It's still very early in the season. You've got college football, NFL, baseball playoffs going on. The NBA is going to be tipping off on Wednesday and Tuesday. You've got a lot of competition. So to be able to put your best foot forward when there's so much else going on, it's great for the league. It's great for the sport.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, the good news, Donnie, it's a Tuesday, and if the Phillies were to wrap things up, I think they play tonight, they will have the stage to themselves, because there's no NFL on Tuesday, and there would be no baseball if the Phillies were to wrap things up. There will be no Game 7.
Right.
So, it's good. I mean, it's a good spot. So I'm glad, and I'm really glad about the staggered starts. I mean, this is dramatically staggered for all the teams, but, like, Just like I said, when there's six or seven games at the same time, even if they're a few minutes apart, I think it makes a difference. So we'll see how it goes, but I think it'll be good for fans, and hopefully the guys will have fun doing it.
Well, we had a long podcast here, so I actually forget the word that I used to describe your appearance today.
Ecstasy,
right. So I want to stick with that. You know, it's the kind of podcast, EJ, quite frankly, if I was going to go to bed, I'd have to sleep on my back. I don't know if I'd be able to sleep on my stomach. It was to that point. It was to that level of ecstasy that we were able to achieve today.
All right. Well, listen, if you want to name any more names next week, feel free.
All right, Tom. We'll throw Tom Bauer, Ray Dinahan. We're throwing all the names out.
All right, there you go. Maybe.
They're all going to own it.
All right, well, listen, you have a good day. And adieu to all the hockey fans out there.
Yes, and when do you leave for Calgary? Or actually Edmonton?
Well, it's Edmonton. I leave Saturday morning.
Saturday morning. All right, so look forward to
Toronto
it.
And get out there. It'll be fun. Yeah, it'll be a really – and we're calling the game right from the rink side. So that's going to be really – I love that. I've had the opportunity to sit there once or twice for games before. You just see things when you're that close that you just have no chance to see from a distance. So
No direct flights Newark to Edmonton. There's one to Calgary. I think it's like 3 o'clock every afternoon. Edmonton got to go through Toronto, but you'll have fun.
Yeah, I'll make it.
Take care, buddy. Man, I appreciate it.
All right.
That's the great EJ Raddick. Always fun to talk to him. So check that out. NHL International for our people that are listening overseas. He'll have the call, the play-by-play for the Heritage Classic coming up this weekend from Edmonton. One game tonight because of all the games that are going to get played tomorrow. It's actually a pretty good one, Montreal at Buffalo. And then it's on, 16 games. And if you listen to the Michael Kay Show tomorrow, I am going to have an ice pick for every one of the 16 games tomorrow. So thank you for joining us. Rick Carpinello is going to join us on Wednesday. He's got the brand new Ranger book that I want to be able to promote. I just started reading it this weekend. It's fabulous. It gives you the history. He started covering the team in the 78-79 season and right up until last year. So he's got a ton of stories, a ton of great stuff over the 40 years of covering the New York Rangers for the Journal News, for The Athletic, and for MSG Network. So we're going to have him on to talk about his book, promote his book. Brian Leach does the forward. So he'll be joining us coming up on Wednesday. We'll talk to you again then. We'll also work in some social media as well. We'll recap the Frozen Frenzy from Tuesday. Should be a lot of fun. We'll talk to you again on Wednesday. This was the Monday edition of Game Misconduct.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.